forbidden path is keeping us here. The first step toward imitating Christ's acceptance is to view yourself as forgivable and as forgiven. In the book of Galatians, the younger brother represented the sinners that Jesus ate with. Now let's be clear here. The younger brother wasn't a victim. The younger brother had made personal choices that cost him dearly. He was demanding, he was watchful, and he became so desperate he took a job feeding pigs. He had no one but to blame but himself. He wasn't a victim. He made personal choices, and he had no one to blame but himself. The Jesus said that eventually the younger brother came to his senses and wanted to come home. He began then rehearsing a fully worded speech. Dad, I am sinning against heaven and against you. Dad, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Dad, I am willing to be one of your hired men. But the end of the story is a spreading sin. As an unworthy and unforgivable sinner. And he rejected the way he felt about himself onto God, onto the Father. As he felt unworthy, simply turned to the Father with the same way. Now, my friends, open up your heart and look at me right now. I'm telling you, we have so much in common here. So much alike on this point. Our friends are so similar, we don't even know where to describe how similar they are. There is nothing more natural. There is absolutely nothing more natural in all the world than to project the way we feel about ourselves onto God. We do it all the time. I do it. You do it. We do it. The God of the Son did it. It's the most natural thing in the world. If we say or do something stupid, we project that feeling onto God and we simply pretend that God thinks we're stupid. We become weak, given to temptation, and feel like a loser. We project that feeling onto God and really assume that God thinks we're a loser. If we see ourselves or doing something that we promised God that we would stop, we simply project that feeling onto God and we assume that God is just here. If our sin is public and people find out we are not what they thought we were, and they pull away and we feel rejected, we project that feeling onto God and we merely assume that God rejects us. In other words, I am a disappointment to myself. I naturally assume that I am a disappointment to God. It's the most natural tendency in the world. But God doesn't think we're stupid. And God doesn't think we're stupid. And God doesn't hate us, and God doesn't reject us, and God does not view us as a disappointment. So there is the problem. The way God views me, and the way I view myself, is miles apart. So how do we deal with it? I mean, what do we do? How do we step forward toward this? that it can be personal and emotional to put yourself into this world. We put ourselves personal and emotional into the story, and then we can do and listen for God for it. Particularly, God will ask us some very personal questions. In effect, God will say, "When you were a long way off, did you know that I ran to you?" God will say, "Are you aware that I have invited my angels to the party that I'm giving in your honor?" God will say, "Think how willing I am to forgive you." And why is this so important to me? Because that's our good God. God will say, "My child, it's okay. You have my permission to forgive you today. Overnight. It will happen quickly. It will be slow. But then, miraculously, God will transform the way we see ourselves and choose us to guide us from self-rejection to self-acceptance. Jesus will guide us from self-hatred to self-worth. About 20 years ago, I mean, the 11th graders, they dated each other for a while. And eventually, the girl found someone to love better. And actually, the guy was hurt, and wrote a letter. And the teacher sent the letter to me to get my advice. Now, perhaps this letter was saved for someone here today. But I needed to talk to someone, and I couldn't sleep. I didn't think I could call someone writing. I know that he still likes me, and I think I'll be okay, but there's something missing. I talked to God, but I can't figure out what's going on. Have you ever felt scared, depressed, and angry all at the same time? Well, that's the way I feel now. I feel this way for about a week now, and I don't know why. In basketball, it doesn't seem to get hurt mentally by this person not starting. That's the way I feel about my whole life. It doesn't matter what it is, work, school, my family, my social life, there's always someone better. I'm just average. I'm actually 15, I have an average person. So there's nothing about me that really stands out. I feel like I don't really matter. I'm just second string, and I'm tired of being second best. My friends, because of our problems, and because of our pain, and because of our sins, it's so easy to do ourselves as second string. I'm just trying to convince you that God doesn't have any children that he considers second string. God views us as forgivable and forgiven. And we have his permission to see ourselves that way too. The third and last step toward imitating Christ's acceptance. Accept others as they are, not as they could be. It simply means that we begin the very short journey from the judgmental spirit to the accepting spirit. It means that we have to come face to face with the fellows who are from each of us. And since the older brother clearly illustrated the judgmental spirit of the Pharisees, that he refused to join the party. He defended his father's generosity. He kept score on everyone's performance, and he even identified himself as being related. He told his father in verse 3, "That person who came home, that's, quote, your son," unquote. Well, you could feel the love. So he said, "Excuse me, acceptance is common. Acceptance is a gift. plan for us. They must be accepted as they are. Not as they should be. It's good to be good to say just in the way that they like that. Because they do. And they must be accepted as they are, not as they should be. It's good to be good to say that people shouldn't get divorced because they do. And they must be accepted as they are, not as they should be. Any good to say that people shouldn't have abortions because they do. And they must be accepted as they are, not as they should. But many of the things about imitating Christ's acceptance, it's coming to terms with the fact that the spirit of the Pharisees is the life of God. And some rich people in life. The whole book is tied up with worship. Jim Morgan tells the story about her childhood. We get the children who are looking for us to be the preacher. We get the children who are entertaining and trying to have a great time. And we have to be able to be up front directing or preaching. The choir wants to continue to sit and be entertained by the up front. Particularly, we've been recognized by some of the children who have been called to be the preacher. I'm not sure and she performed her audience for quite a while, and she's going to be able to dance and shift on and play something else like Temple or Jack. Today, that generation has grown up, but most of them haven't changed much. Even Sunday, they still play church. They have to look for the entertainment and it's pretty good the church may go. And if it's not, they eventually get on to play something else. My friends, this is the last people who are drowning in despair and the other people playing church. And in no way did the other people indicate Christ's acceptance. And we still want us to ask ourselves today where we must think. The Pharisees who played church. Jesus. This got a lot of time and effort. He can get himself. We can't imitate something we have not experienced. It's not going to happen for us until it happens for us. Every one of us just has some business to do with God. We're going to sing a closing song, and I want you to stand now. I want you to stand in your heart and open your heart and ask Jesus to come. I want you to give to Jesus. I want you to just think about your relationship with God. I want you to open up your heart to Him. Acknowledge that others need